You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day and another week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Friday, I speak to Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. Okay. Stock Exchange News Service this morning was a bare cupboard, but this afternoon there was stuff going on. What happened with the jobs numbers from the United States or America for the month of August, please, Nick? What happened?
Yeah, afternoon, Lindsay. So, yeah, it was, I guess it was a little bit of everything in it for everyone. U.S. economy gaining in the headline was 315,000 jobs for the month of August.
Right.
But there was a bit of a slow in the pace from the previous month because unemployment rate actually rose a little bit to 3.7 from 3.5. So, in a nutshell, that basically, I think it's almost a bit of a sort of sweet spot job numbers. So the Fed will be a little bit happier that despite August gains, the jobless rate did edge up sort of 0.2 percentage points. I think I'll keep them a little bit happy that the economy is not going sort of too hot. I think for the other people out there, the number of people unemployed rose by 344. And then with the people employed or looking for work, or they call the labor force participation rate, that rose to 62%, but does remain quite a bit below its pandemic level. So all in all, I think, I certainly don't think this makes the Fed go, hold on a second, let me put the brakes on for September, or maybe, you know, do a half a percent as opposed to 0.75. But I certainly think it is a pause for thought. And you can see that in the market, a little bit of risk on today. And the dollar the dollar's been running too hot for a while. So this gave the dollar an excuse to soften a little bit this afternoon.
You have to put this into context. Anyone having a look at the United States job situation, okay, it was a blowout number last month. I mean, the month of July, I think it was something like 500,000 plus jobs were created. 315,000 with almost full employment, or technically, in the economist's book's eyes, it is full employment. So to create another 315,000 is important. But what do people look at? The 3.5 to 3.7% unemployment rate, or do they look at the number of jobs created? What is the technicality of this?
I think they look at the number of jobs created, to be honest, and then they drill down into the different various industries. So within that sort of broad-based number, they then drill it down. Because don't forget the actual terminology for this unemployment report. We all know it as Jobs Friday, Lindsay, but it's the non-farm payrolls,
yes.
I.e. exactly what that means. It's the payrolls from non-farming, so construction, financial activities, government, information, of course, leisure and hospitality, which has been coming back strongly after economies reopening, as well as retail and utilities, and I could go on. So, I mean, that is quite an important sort of breakdown of different sectors, and then those who are far more clever than me, the economists, will then drill down even further, and they'll even look at the partition rates by race and gender from sort of Asian men, white men, black men, Hispanic, and so on, and women as well. So you can get very, very lost in the detail, mm-hmm. and from that, the economists and the clever people out there will make an opinion of what they think is going to happen in the next couple of months. My own personal point of view, I think this is a nice headline number. It does move markets for me to trade. But the weekly job list, which came out yesterday, the Thursday numbers, I think are far more accurate because that's it's almost a little bit more real time, so to speak. And then, of course, the ADP numbers is the private sector. So that's a little bit of background to the listeners out there of what these numbers mean.
Do you know what, Nick? Just as an aside, if you go forward a couple of years, they still revise it. They'll still be revising the numbers that you heard today in the future. If you look at the Labor Department's website, which is the first one that I look at when there is a number, because it comes out immediately. It comes out at 2:30 South African time. They still revise them all the time, so it's a very technical
business. That's exactly right.
Very, very technical indeed. Any corporate news from South Africa today?
Nothing. I didn't see anything on the wires.
Nor me.
It was very, very quiet.
Okay, good. But it's been quite a week. Just before you're going to give me the numbers later on in a few minutes' time, but overall it's been a bad week for the JSE Securities Exchange and major indices. Really,
it has
hasn't
been.
It? Yeah.
It has been, and, you know, despite today's better sort of day, overall, we had a nice bounce back today, but we're still hovering. I mean, just to keep the number on that all share, I mean, before this morning's open, the all share had a handle of 66,000. you know, this was close to 75,000 a couple of months ago. So it has, we are well off the highs, and it's been a very tough week, minus in Pacific, specifically. And of course, with this rampant dollar, the gold shares have been absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
So yes, it hasn't been a great week. And don't forget, it was month end on Thursday as well. I mean, on Wednesday. And if you look back at the month end numbers, I mean, we can, you know, we spoke about the scoreboard. I mean, MSCI World Index down 5% for the month of August. So it's been a very tough month for anyone who's been exposed, and not just the equities. Bonds had a terrible month too. So it's been a tough one. It's been a tough August. It's a month to forget. And of course, this week's been obviously with the month end's been tough too.
And September is statistically, as you said yesterday, the worst month of the year over the decades. The worst month of the year is September. October has the most glamorous falls, but September has the worst performances, I think. It's not something to look forward to. Nick, let me have a look at the spot prices if I can. The rand's steady, relatively. 17.21 against the US dollar. British pound against the rand is 19.92. Euro rand is 17.25. Euro dollar is now par 22. In other words, 1 euro buys you 1.0022 US dollars, as opposed to yesterday when we spoke, when it was 99.30 or 99.40. British pound, having had a horrible time, is still... still not great. 115.75, that exchange rate. Gold price was briefly below 1700, is now back above it to the tune of $17, 1717. Platinum down a couple to 824. That's had a torrid time. Palladium is above 2000 again. 2028, which is $45 an ounce higher. Now the oil price, which seems to have had a bad week up until today, of course, where we've got the oil price just recovering some kind of stability. $94.14 for Brent crude oil, which is up 1.9%. Crude oil in the States, the West Texas, is up 1.4%. Natural gas prices have slumped fairly dramatically, actually. Over 5.5% weaker for natural gas to 8.75, which is strange, given that Nord Stream 1 has been shut down yet again on the pretext that there's some sort of maintenance to be done. But we don't believe you, Mr. Putin, don't worry. Even wheat is up 2%. Yeah, there's lots of moving parts in the commodity thing, but mainly the oil price, which is bouncing back from 2 days of a fair amount of nastiness. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, which was 3.30% overnight, now I think, as I refresh my screen, it is back to 3.21%, still elevated compared to this time last week. The South African 10-year was 10.55 this morning, is now 10.32%, and Bitcoin is 20,363, which is up 3.3%. Nick, so although these moves are gratifying, They're not that dramatic. It's almost like a book squaring Friday to me. That's how it feels. It almost feels apologetic, this rally.
It is a little bit of a relief rally, I think, given the week that it's had. And I don't think we even square on the week yet. I still be significantly down on the week. So a little bit of, some people looking for a bit of bargains, etc. But, yeah, I think, don't forget as well that it's the Labor Day sort of holiday. Well, I think is it Labor Day holiday on Monday?
First Monday of September. Monday. Yeah, Labor Day. Yeah, you're quite right. Yes.
So that typically signifies, I mean, the Americans are having their barbecues and all the rest of it. And then it really is the end of their summer holes. Mm. And with that, I hope the traders and hedgies and everyone back and investors are back on the Tuesday morning and it's back to business. Because it has been it's been quite a choppy few weeks, and also illustrated by quite thin volumes in the US as well, which I always keep an eye on as well. I'm looking forward to everyone sort of getting back and sort of seeing how the next couple of months go. And of course, the next data point for all of us will be the third quarter earnings season, which kicks off at the end of September. So you're quite a lot to look forward to, and this year is far from over, by a long way.
On my up screen on the JSE today, Nick, I've got Motors up nearly 10%, 9.6% higher for that one. You'll tell me about that in a second. Impala Platinum, having had a bad time of it after its results, 5.4% up. Goldfields up 4.75%. AngloGold Ashanti up 4.75%. And African Rainbow Minerals up 4.4%. Before we go on to the negatives, what do you make of the positives? I mean, there's four diggers there, but one at the top, Motors. What's happened there? Any ideas?
I actually didn't see anything. I was digging around. I mean, they did have a trading update, but that was about a week or so ago, or the earnings report anyway. And I just had a quick glance. A few clients were asking me earlier, but I mean, they came out with earnings on the 31st, so that was on the Wednesday, and they were fairly decent. Revenue was up about, I think, 5 or 6%, if I remember, and also coming out, they were affected as the preliminary headline earnings. So, no, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything that would signify this at all. Okay, but, the diggers you can relate to, that weaker dollar is really playing in, and again, I mean, yesterday, top of my leaderboard, yesterday on the downside, was, I mean, Impala Platinum, Northern Platinum, and Anglo-American Platinum are all the top three. And here they're bouncing back again, so a bit of a schizophrenic market at the moment.
And on the downside, Aspen down 3.6%. Their numbers were out this week. PSG Consult down 3.25%. Fortress A, the property company, 2.5% in the red. Italtal down 2.2%. And Santam, after its trading update yesterday, or was it results? One of the two, 1.9% in the red. Anything else, Nick, or is it just one of those days where, no, thank goodness, there isn't anything else?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, as I said, I always come in the mornings and prepare my sheets and send notes out to clients, and that the first thing I look at is the upcoming calendar. And of course, I was preoccupied with the non-farm numbers, but then I always look at the local stuff. And there was no corporate events scheduled, and there was no economic events scheduled, and there was not even there's like an AGM or a feedback or something I can dial in for. There was nothing. So, yeah, there was really nothing to elaborate on.
Okay, very good. In that case, let's draw a veil over this week by you giving me the closing JSE indices and live Wall Street, please.
Okay, so I'm happy to say it is a decent day after a very, very tough week, as Lindsay pointed out. Up 2.05% we closed. That is your JSE All Share. Back above, thank goodness, 67,000 now. So 1,300 points up, 67,378. Your top 40 companies index up 2.25%, 1,337. Also, nice day, 60,854, the closing level. I'd have to say a reasonably broad-based rally. Basic materials, the leader, up 3.25%. Energy bouncing back with that oil price, 3.08%. Tech shares having a good day too, 2.35%. Banks, financials with a stronger rand, up 1.48%. Consumer non-cyclicals up 1.47%. Just a couple of little laggers. Industrials were down 0.42%. And healthcare, you mentioned Aspen on the downside. Healthcare index down 1.16%. Value traded, it was kind of where it's been the last couple of days, 19.1 billion value traded.
Okay, and Wall Street, please. Obviously bouncing back, but not quite as glamorous as the JSE, methinks.
Not quite as glamorous, but we're still in the 1%ers, 1.05%. That's your S&P 500. We're trading above 4,000 on the S&P 500 front month future, so 4,010.
Nice.
We've got Dow Jones Industrials not far from 32,000. Also, just shy of a percent, 304 points higher. And your tech-heavy NASDAQ, which has had a rubbish week, also up 0.3%, 12,400. And the one I like to look at, the VIX, coming back quite nicely. It's down almost over 10% today, which signifies a little bit of risk coming back on, which is good.
What is that, about 25% now?
It's 23.2 now, and as high as 27 midweek, so it's coming nicely, yeah.
Very good. Nick, thank you for your contributions tonight and all week. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday with David Shapiro after the Labor Day long weekend. Nick Kunze is from Sandon Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.